You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
I say that anything that is scary is sometimes worth the risk. You know, I think that it's hard to live on the edge like that, but I think it's essential to growth. And if you fall on your face, you really can get back up again and do it all over again. I mean, there've been plenty of shows we've done and we've not made any money and we've had like 12 people in the audience. And I don't consider those defeats either. I think, you know, anything that, that motivates you and that, that impacts your inner mission, is worth every risk.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe. If you're tuning in on any podcast platform, thank you so much. Please rate, subscribe, leave a comment. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can already see our guest, Liz Fleming, that I'll be introducing in just a second here. But thank you so much for tuning in via YouTube. You can subscribe, leave a comment on questions you might have after the episode or things you might want to see in the future. If you haven't tried a Built for the Stage free trial yet, head on over to builtforthestage.com and we can get you on your way with 7 days of working one-on-one with your own Broadway fitness coach. Follow us on the gram at Built for the Stage. Okay, always have exciting guests on here. I'm really, really excited to talk to Liz. Liz is the founder of the Out of the Box Theatrics, who just recently put on the streaming of the last 5 years that has been airing via their website that you can access. We're going to put their website in the description of this episode. So if you want to see the last 5 years, you have until May 9th. And if you stick around and listen to this episode, you're going to also find out a way that you can enter yourself to win a free ticket. So welcome to the show, Liz Fleming. Hi, Liz.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me here.
My pleasure. Thanks for being on Built for the Stage podcast. And thank you so much for the gift of the last 5 years. I got to see it 3 times. I was telling Nasia,
wow.
Yes, I know, right? I saw it with a friend and then it had been a couple of weeks and I was like, I just wanted to see it again. So I bought the ticket that you can have access for, I think it was 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched it and then in the midst of watching it, my wife came out from having her online college classes that she's taking. She's like, oh, what are you watching? And I told her, she's like, oh, I'd love to watch that too. So then the next night I watched it again for the 3rd time. So,
wow, thanks.
it was enjoyable each time. But before we get into the last 5 years, let's just rewind to 2016 and talk about the beginning of Out of the Box Theatrics. How did that all come about?
Yeah. So honestly, I'll be totally honest. I'm an actor first, so I didn't think that I'd be starting an actual production company. I actually was planning to just do one production. That I was going to do You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown on a Playground. And it really stemmed from, I'm a visually impaired actor. I'm a disabled actor. And I was finding that the industry was it wasn't really accessible for people like myself and not super inclusive for the BIPOC community and you know, differently abled actors. So I took some time off from being on the road. I was doing a lot of regional theater and decided that I wanted to sort of create something for myself that was inclusive. And I had this idea to do You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown on a Playground with all disabled actors and BIPOC actors. And I really didn't have a clue how to do it. I'll be totally honest. And I had big ideas. I was like, I'm going to do this on full equity contracts and I'm going to do it like in 3 months. And I learned pretty quick that I needed to take a step back and really organize myself and figure out exactly how to do that. So I met with my now associate, Ethan Paulini, who was a coach that was recommended to me. And he had done a commercial run of a production. And I thought, wow, you know, he probably understands how to start this process of producing work and producing your own work and what that entails and how do you work with the actors union and how do you raise money and how do you do all those things. And I remember sitting on his couch with my big ideas and I told him when I was going to do it and he was like, wait a minute. He's like, this is a great idea, but this is going to take you like a year, which it did. He helped me come up with some fundraising ideas and told me to contact the actors union to start the union process. And it took me about a year, but we raised about $8,000. And back then, the very first production that we did was $8,000. And we produced it on a playground. And after the first production, I had no idea that it was going to have the effect that it had on people. So I thought, you know, I think I got to keep going. So I'm going to continue to produce work and I'm going to produce it in these site-specific locations that are also inclusive to marginalized communities. Yeah. So,
I love that about you. I think that everyone listening, there's something to be taken from that where you're just like willing to jump, whether you knew exactly what you're jumping into or not. You just just started, and mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest roadblocks for people is just getting started and pulling the trigger on. Oh, I'm not sure what I'm doing exactly, and all of these self-doubts is what hold us back from just getting going. So, mm-hmm. I love hearing that story that you were just willing, and then your associate now. We need those people as well. We need those people to be like, okay, like amazing, but like let's get all our ducks in a row here. I'm super intrigued about the playground production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. How did you pull that off doing that? On a playground?
It was hard. I mean, it was hard because I didn't have any idea what that entailed. It's I learned a lot from it. So obviously with the Actors Union, there's a lot involved with that. They have to do site visits. So they came to visit, I think it was Frederick Douglass Playground. And I had to show them where the bathrooms were. And I had a school that was willing to allow us to utilize their dressing room spaces that was nearby. So there was that. There was the purchasing of permits. So you have to purchase a permit. I think the biggest thing I learned was about sound during that production. I didn't realize what that meant, that having to actually like project on a playground. So I learned a great deal from that. But it was a process mostly with the union, I would say. But and also just making sure that it was safe for everybody, making sure that, you know, those of us that had visual impairments, which there were a few of us, actually were able to see where they were going and felt that it was accessible to them. So that was a big part of it. It was fun. It was a challenge. And we had a few productions rained out. So we had to use 353 Studios, which I don't know if you've seen those studios, but they're these little, it's like on 51st Street, I think. And they're these like little studios. So we had two performances rained out. So that was a learning curve as well. But yeah. I mean, growing pains, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of growing pains and just diving into things that maybe you weren't familiar with, the last 5 years production was filmed. It wasn't a live mm-hmm. production. Was this your first undertaking of something that was going to be strictly filmed, or had you done a project like this in the past?
Nothing like this that was live. We, over the pandemic, you know, we had to adapt like most companies did. So we produced a great deal of content that was mostly, you know, Zoom theater. It was, we tried to find a way to make it unique, but it was mostly people in boxes. And this was the first one that we decided to do live in a site-specific space. And that was, you know, I didn't know much about filming anything, to be honest. I mean, theater is really my wheelhouse. So through the help of an incredible team, I think we got there, but it was a journey for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Great. Well, that's why we're here. I'd love for you to kind of walk us through some of that journey with your team, and, you know, maybe let's go to the start of you all had this idea and you wanted to give it a go. What were the first steps of trying to figure this all out?
Yeah, I can't take credit for it. It was Nick and Nasia. You know, they chose us, and I feel really fortunate that they chose us and trusted us with this project. But Nick and Nasia, it was a passion project for them. And I have always liked the last 5 years. I did think that it was, and had been oddly enough talking about it probably 3 or 4 weeks before they reached out. Because I was like, it's kind of the perfect pandemic show because it's only two people, and I'd love to do it with two people of color. And I had thought about it, but I hadn't really like fully acted on it yet. And then they sent the proposal, and it sort of felt like, oh, I have to do this. And initially, we weren't going to do it in a site-specific space. That happened later. We were going to co-produce it with Holmdahl Theater Company, who still ended up co-producing it with us. But we were going to do it at their space in New Jersey because we thought it would be safer. And as the production evolved, and as Nick and Nasia and all of us started speaking over Zoom about the production, which was probably, I would say, maybe 7 or 8 months prior to it actually happening, it became very clear that this was going to be a creative collaboration, and we needed to find like-minded artists that were going to collaborate in a similar way. So they reached out to Jason Michael Webb, who we didn't think would say yes. And he said yes. And it evolved into learning that the idea of doing this in a proscenium stage wouldn't really work, because there's something about this story being told through this perspective, in the confines of an apartment, and how, you know, being almost like a fly on the wall in the world. So it evolved probably like 3 months later, actually, into the process. And I had already submitted proposal to Equity for the other space. So now we had to submit for an apartment, which they were like, what do you mean? But I would say that it was probably the best decision that could have been made. And again, I can't take credit for it. It really came from the artists. It came from a team of individuals that really cared so much about the piece and telling the story from the perspective of two Black artists, and really taking a stance with that. And I really couldn't have even tried to do any of this without their help. You know, I mean, because I didn't really know what a hard drive was, to be totally honest with you. We were just very lucky to find a team that was willing to just kind of go for it. And I mean, I honestly, it's amazing. 4 days, they filmed this in 4 days. And
wow.
And yeah. And everybody was just delightful the whole time. So I, it just kind of, it evolved from the creatives involved in the project. So
yeah,
honestly.
Mm-hmm. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I don't know if this was your lane or not, but I'm thinking about logistics that you're talking about with Charlie Brown and now logistics of last 5 years.
Yeah.
I know that probably people out there question like, oh, why are there tickets and how do you sell out of a recorded show? And,
sure.
And I'm sure it has to do with rights of the show and how it's not a typical just quote unquote movie. Could you speak on that a little bit just to maybe educate, if you will, our listeners
sure.
as to why the setup is the way that it is?
Yeah, it is. And I understand the confusion around it, but with the union regulations and with the rights involved with the last 5 years through MTI, they limit us on how many tickets that we can sell. And, you know, just to put it in perspective, we're a non-for-profit. So, you know, we used pretty much all the money we had in the bank to make this happen. So when we go over a certain capacity, we're charged for that. And it can become a real financial burden on a company that, you know, is in the middle of a pandemic. So for that purpose, that's why we have to cut it off. But I get it. It is confusing. I wish we could sell as many tickets as we wanted to. We had no idea it was going to have the response that it did, which has been thrilling, really. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. On my end, I totally got that with MTI. I put that together quickly, but others out there that, you know, aren't familiar with the business in that sense, I could probably assume that questions like that would arise. But that was my next thing. My next thing was going to be, could you imagine that you would have had that many sold out showings?
I mean, I have to be honest. So, you know, just to be really transparent, you know, OOTB, I was happy to take a risk on the project. And I, you know, we put in everything that we had, which I was going to be grateful to do either way. But I thought we would maybe make not even half of the of what we put out back. And I had no idea that we would have the response that we did. And I'm so unbelievably thankful for that because it means that we can keep going. So, you know, we can keep producing work like this, which based on people's reaction and buying tickets, I think is so desperately needed. I think shows like this are needed often.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thank you. I mean, thank you to everybody who's been buying and thank you to, like, you know, everyone that's rooted for it and posted about it and shared about it. And I mean, we're just unbelievably overwhelmed and grateful.
Yeah. I'd like to zoom in on the point in which you had to make that decision to go all in, if you will, and take this risk because, you know, on the podcast, we try to parallel things to either fitness or just tough journeys in life in general with a career in theater. And so oftentimes we do face these decisions of like, you know, am I going to step over this line and actually go for it and take the leap? Or am I going to, you know, retreat? Can you zoom in a little bit more on that moment of you making the decision, maybe who else you spoke to, your colleagues, and just what that all was like to make that courageous decision?
Yeah. You know, Out of the Box is used to operating on virtually no budget and not having money and always having to fundraise and all of that. But I think for this project, the mission was too important for us not to take the risk. And, you know, we had to make decisions that were hard. You know, there were producing partners that we were going to work with and didn't have the same mission in mind. And we chose not to work with those people because we wanted to make sure that, that the show had the impact that we wanted it to, and that people were moved in the same way that the creatives were moved and that we were moved. So I say that anything that is scary is sometimes worth the risk. You know, I think that it's hard to live on the edge like that, but I think it's essential to growth. And if you fall on your face, you really can get back up again and do it all over again. I mean, there've been plenty of shows we've done and we've not made any money, and we've had like 12 people in the audience, and I don't consider those defeats either. I think, you know, anything that that motivates you and that that impacts your inner mission is worth every risk. So yeah. For us, it was an easy choice. You know, it was a very, very easy choice. Sorry, I don't know how that happened. okay. It was a very easy choice. But I'm just really unbelievably grateful that it worked out, but I would have been equally fine if it didn't, to be honest. Yeah.
Love that. Okay. Everyone rewind 90 seconds and just listen to that again. Okay. So thank you, Liz, for sharing that. That was super inspiring and just, yeah, what we needed to hear. So now that this has happened, my last question for you is, do you think you will go into endeavors like this in the future of filmed productions, if you will?
Yes, I think we would do it again. Absolutely. I mean, ultimately, we want to do live theater. You know, I think there's nothing quite like it. That being said, I think if it had the right, if it was something like this again, absolutely. If I knew it would have the effect on people emotionally and all of that, absolutely. But ultimately, I want Last 5 Years to be on the stage, and I want this team to be able to do it on the stage. And I think that's the most incredible experience, especially to do it in a way that's so intimate like this.
Liz, thanks again for being on the episode today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks, everybody.
All right, everyone. Thanks again. This is Joe Roscoe with Built for the Stage. Thanks to our producing team, the Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm. All right, later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.